Pull Epitaphs, Latin 9. Dear floating flâneur, on the last day of the season, on a thinking, feeling day when the pool reconciles body and body forgives pool, when it is snowing outside and inside and the pool is closed and open too, like a script with open ending, we decided to find Merleau-Ponty's crypt. And on that thinking, feeling, snowy day when anything could be covered and uncovered, we found and paused at the tomb that, in a random, deserted site, semi-lit by dim neon light, illuminated for the sightseer who, now standing close, had travelled from afar. And we too stood there, somewhat illuminated, half levitating above the tomb at dusk when all things look like something else, for at dusk nothing is but what is not. The philosopher's tomb, we could say, called us to come close to keep a distance. And we went close enough and kept a distance, and when we were close and distant enough, we saw that certain dates flickering on the tombs were unstoppably rolling towards exactly where we stood. The annual doomsday doomed to catch up with the day it was doomed to ruin, behind us, now ahead of us. And so, as we stood there among other mourners mourning ourselves, we saw an autumn burial in a fin de siècle grandiose Budapest Pantheon. This Pantheon was pompous like a sculpture park, with exotic plants and poets sculpted figures gathered in the park, all in some kind of irrational pose, Rilke, for instance, with giant angel wings, Rambo bathing in semi-lit halo, nagging the queen to speak, Celan's fragile figure set in lotus pose at the margin of his empty grave, composing an alternative Todes fugue with an alternative ending. Keats, pale, spectre thin, wearing an apothecary's gown. Next to him, Shelley, always already drowned. W.S. Graham in a jovial walking pose, presumably still walking on the word road home. Attila Yosef's posture slightly twisted, cervical spine fractured and with only one arm. Catullus, portrait of the lover, the loather, tormented, crucified by loathing and loving. And there, right above the poet torsos, was a giant arc, a terrific and terrifying rainbow. And as we were standing there at the edge of Merleau-Ponty's pool, his miniature basin, the tiny patio, the rectangularity, the depth, the width, the height, the dampness drew the obvious analogy. Dear thanatomaniac, dear grave robber, there and then the sight of the crypt, the white page, the walk in the pompous pantheon among other whitewashed tombs, the minute-long pause at the margin of the tiny tetragon, on the marble the hazy hieroglyphs, the act of reading itself, the deciphering of dead data, names written in water, brought with it peace to equilibrium. And I thought of sickness, mother's choleric old sheepdog, her melancholic organs, the lungs full of fluids, her failing, feeling heart deformed from pain. And then I thought of aphorisms too, quietly humming, not mentioning it to my nameless acquaintance, allergic to what he calls poor aporias. And I thought of the triptych, the different swimming shapes and techniques, how in pool body metamorphoses into another, an amphibian, a vertebra, a fluid butterfly, a tadpole even, a centaur, a lover. And I thought of the bed swimmer who, despite all the swimming lessons, still swims like a mosquito, legs hanging downwards as if longing to drown, who, on his chance day, will forget that all along and on all occasions it was to do with resisting resistance. And I thought of my own phantom swimmer, the posthumous poet's desire to learn the vocabulary of desire while we are alive. That in that moment, standing at the edge of the pool, I saw the pool, my pool, the right pool, next to the old hospital run by Brothers Hospitalers. It was another thinking, feeling day, a mundane day, an undaring. On the surface of the water, the body of the former swimmer was wandering, drifting, floating, gradually blending into the autumn canopy of the pool, the bronze body fading into auburn leaves fallen from nearby chestnut trees. And in that moment I was Alpha and Omega, subject and object, patient and portion. I was page, I was editor, I was illness and medication. I was the world I was composing, and I was the I that was being composed. I was part and whole, but I was pars pro toto. And I knew that I, as part, was wholly part of this world. I was synesthesia. And so, I thought, a good poem should be...